got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell.
I'm not worried about work. I'm worried about robots.
On 920 The Game.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, let's go Las Vegas here on this Wednesday, 920 The Game. I'm Ryan Big Mac McKinnell. You're listening to the Mac Attack. 4 days away from Super Bowl 53. Got Media Day in full effect. Got some stories coming out for you, including what Sean Payton did after that devastating loss to the Los Angeles Rams. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by Ryan the Hockey Guy, one half of the VGK Insider crew over on Fox Sportsnet. Going to look ahead to the next half of the season, recap a little bit of the All-Star game, what we saw over the weekend, and some of that cool, if you didn't watch, kind of unveiled the analytics, the puck tracking. If you've been hearing anything about that, the game and the National Hockey League is about to get a whole lot more technological. And the flip side of that, the NFL, it looks like Roger Goodell had a press conference today. It looks like the NFL is not getting more technological. We're going to touch about that in about 10 minutes. But for right now, talk a little bit with my man, Mark Seidel, across the way. How you doing, Mark?
I am chilling.
So you set up yesterday a little spot for me on ABC 13 with our friend Jackie over there, Kostick, former Chicagoan, now living in Las Vegas, came and did a little hit on the Super Bowl, what it would mean, the impact for the city, and all that. So I tuned in 6 o'clock last night, and I was very scared, Mark.
Scared about what?
My face.
Yeah, I mean, I could see how it could scare little kids sometimes or something like that.
Well, I mean, I have an inner child, and it's really weird. You know what I mean? Like they say you got a face for radio.
Yes.
Very clear. It's clear. I have a face for radio.
I've been told told the same thing.
We have a lot of that in common here at the studio. I guess it's just different looking in the mirror and like looking at yourself every day and then seeing yourself in HD. I'm so gray. Well, we both are. Just couldn't believe how gray I was. I was dealing with a little PTSD today.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just, I think it was the HD. So I think it was the 70-inch TV and the HD that did it for
So
me.
What does that mean?
Well, I got me thinking. I mean, I'm not one to touch my beard. I kind of like to let it grow wild. That's kind of why I have a beard. I'm not big on shaving.
Yeah.
The upkeep of it.
Yeah,
I have very sensitive skin. So, like, I break out and it's just...
Yeah, you get the red bumps and everything.
It's just not fun.
Yeah.
So, I feel like this is best for me, but it might not be best for me if ABC keeps wanting to do TV spots.
Rock on, man.
Rock, you let it go?
Yeah.
Just let it flow. Let the good times roll?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm watching that broadcast. I don't watch a lot of local news. I don't watch a lot of news in general. I tend to get my news from social media.
Uh-huh.
But this is not a story I had seen on social media. I hadn't seen it anywhere. And ABC ran this story last night. And Mark, and I promise we're getting to Roger Goodell and the media day and everything that's happened in the NFL here real quickly. But I saw a piece on Fortnite addiction for children. Now, for those that don't know, Fortnite's a very popular video game.
Never played Fortnite a day in my life.
Me either. We're old.
Yeah.
We play other games. You know, we'll get you on the sticks with Madden or something.
Yeah.
You know, play little sports games or something. Uh-huh. That's more our speed, right? So, I don't think this is anything new. People play video games. I play a lot of video games, still do, when I can find the time. Like, I'm on Red Dead Redemption 2 right now. I like sports games. I like NHL 19, you know? I like sports games. So, I mean, I like playing video games. I like playing video games as a child.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this package, and they're talking about how these kids are just locked into the video game, that they can't be told nothing. You can't get them off, and, you know, they talked about the behavioral changes that the children go through when the parents try to take them off the game. And the parents are like, well, I just don't know what to do. You know, their whole personality changes when you take something away from them, and they can't play their game. They become different people.
Hey, well, my nephew, huge gamer, he was struggling in school.
Yeah.
Last year when I went home for Christmas, I was told he was struggling in school, and it was because he wouldn't do his homework. He'd come home straight playing video games. So what did Uncle Mark do?
Beat some ass?
No, I packed
some ground rules.
I packed his Xbox up, and I brought it back here to Las Vegas with me. And I was like, I will not mail it back to you until you show me
and
I even said B's, not even A's.
Yeah.
I was like, until you show me
realistic
that you're getting B's in classes, I will have your Xbox out here, and I won't send it back until.
Do these kids not just have an Uncle Mark? One of the moms was like, I don't know what to do. His personality just shifts. Beat his ass, physically.
Not physically. Whoop his ass.
That too, if it gets bad enough.
You know, man, I got when I acted up as a kid.
Yeah.
I got whooped.
Caught the old wooden spoon occasionally.
By my mother.
Yeah.
Like my mom hit me with a frying pan.
Ooh.
On the butt.
I feel like
one time, and I learned after that. You know, okay, I don't want to get spanked with a frying pan.
Right, you don't hold it against them.
Of course not.
You end up appreciating it
later. Then I did.
Yeah,
you know, I did then, but now I look back on it like, she struck the fear of God in me, and I straightened up kind of, sort of.
Remember that Michael Keaton Batman movie in 89?
Oh, yeah.
So all the toys came out. It was the first Batman movie, really one of the first comic book movies outside of Superman, however you want to look at it. And I got this styrofoam bat gun that shot like a bat wing out of it.
Uh-huh.
Mom was like, if you shoot that at anybody, if you point that at anybody, it's your ass. I'm going to destroy it.
Yeah.
I'm 7.
Yeah, so you did it.
So I did it, shot my friend in the eye.
Uh-huh.
She took that bat gun, took it right out to the garage, put it under her tire and ran it over.
Good for her.
Made me watch it.
Yeah.
I was crying. I was a little baby. But I didn't shoot anybody in the eye with a...
You learned your lesson.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the whole crux of this story was essentially Fortnite rehab. Like, our kid's going to have to go to rehab for video games. And listen, I've been there. I definitely, you know, in my younger days, 14, 15, wasting time. You look down, 6 hours have passed. You're like, oh my God, I have a problem. I understand not everyone can, like, self-police.
Yeah.
Like, you do need some help.
Yeah.
But also, just not letting kids run your household.
Mm-hmm.
We've clearly become the old men. This is so terrifying.
No, it's not even old men, but it's just, you know, times have changed. And, you know, when I was growing up, if I messed up, if I did something wrong, I was punished.
Punished?
You know, whether it be if I cursed, if I had a stick of soap shoved in my mouth, you know? My mom even hit me with the liquid soap.
Oh.
You know, like...
That gets good coverage.
There's
360 degree coverage.
There's no just like sticking your teeth on the soap and like keeping keeping your tongue away from it.
Right.
No, when it's liquid soap, it's all up in there.
Let's go. It's time for the opening round.
It's time for the opening round. Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Straight whooping kids' little asses here on the Mac Attack.
Yeah. We will beat your ass, little kid.
Yes, we will. All right, so Roger Goodell at a press conference today. We're going to touch on that real quickly, but we've got a bit of a surprise here. We have late-breaking news. Sean McVay has held a press conference and spoken about last week's blown call, and you're not going to believe this. He doesn't think the Rams should be there. Hit it.
We were really fortunate to win the game. I thought that they outplayed us, outcoached us, out-physicaled us. Out-executed us. We had no respect for them or for the game. We didn't play with each other. It was a pathetic performance. And Phoenix got robbed.
Not bad on that. Apologies. that was Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs talking about his lucky win last night against Phoenix. But what did that have been great if it was Sean McVay?
Yeah.
It's just nice to hear a coach be honest.
We sucked. Yeah.
We were terrible. We didn't deserve to win that.
It happens.
We lucked out. I'm sorry. I had to do that. A little bit of a Rickroll on you. Sorry, Vegas. I was just hearing that last night, and all I could think about was Saints fans down there. And speaking of Saints fans, one of the biggest Saints fans is obviously Sean Payton. Sean Payton. Coach of the Saints, had to sit there on the sidelines. Something my mom said as that game was going down. She was texting me, why is Peyton so involved with the play? He needs to move on. They got a game to win. Stop crying on the sidelines. Okay, I get that. It's fair, but I can't say I wouldn't be going nuclear on the sidelines either. Every man, Sean Payton, going nuclear on the sidelines and apparently also mourning in similar ways after the loss against the Rams. He spoke today and he had this great quote, and I couldn't skip over it. He said, I would say, honestly, after the game for 2 or 3 days, much like probably normal people, I didn't come out of my room, ate Jenny's ice cream, and watched Netflix.
Sounds like a good day to me.
Definitely. Definitely. I guess my only question would be is, what are we watching on Netflix, and what type of ice cream? I already know the ice cream I'm eating. It's Halo Top. Like, I go Halo Top. I cut out the calories and the fat.
I'm just straight cookies and cream, man.
Okay.
Doesn't matter where it's coming from, because it's hard to mess up cookies and cream ice cream.
Man, I feel the same way about
like,
chicken.
Like Breyers or something like that.
I feel the same way about chicken parmesan. Like, if I go to an Italian restaurant, you can't mess that up. That's good logic. I think I'm going to... You know what's funny? I think I've always subscribed to that theory of cookies and cream being universally delicious no matter where you get it from?
It's the best.
Well, I do it. Like, it just clicked with me. Like, when I go to buffets around town, maybe I go to a less inexpensive buffet.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. Uh-huh. You know, one of the under $10, under $15 boys.
Yeah.
I always go cookies and cream. Now, I might pair it with an apple pie or something, but always go cookies and cream.
Cookies and cream, that's the way to go.
Renaissance, man. Mark Seidel, you're making this world a better place. That really endeared me even more to Sean Payton. I know people say he's got a punchable face. He's up there with, like, Jimmy Clausen and...
Who's Sean McVay?
Yeah, no, Payton.
Oh, Payton. Okay.
Yeah, no, Sean McVay's got face of an angel.
Sean McVay is, there are plenty of women out there who would love to get would love to McVay his Sean.
Okay.
You like that?
It's something. So I saw that from Payton, and I just, you know, made me feel sorry for him even more so.
I don't feel sorry for him.
I know. Especially over the last week with the politicians trying to get the thing overturned. People in New Orleans have not done themselves any favors.
But that's the thing. That's what bothers me so much is the fact that politicians and lawyers and stuff like that are legitimately wasting their time on trying to get...
Rest of our country and cities burn.
Yeah, I've got a great idea on how we should really spend our time. Let's get a thing together and get a bunch of people to sign it. Like, it's not happening, man. Move on. It's a sport ball game. Move on. I have no sympathy for him.
I'd like to move on, but Roger Goodell, who had a press conference today, he touched on a myriad of issues. Obviously, the blown no-call was a big part of this conference, but he also talked about, like, Colin Kaepernick. He talked about minority coaching opportunities. He mentioned the Raiders a little bit, but the thing, obviously, everybody's talking about is his quotes or are his quotes on the no-call between the Rams and the Saints, and rightfully so. We get it. It's a pivotal point. My whole thing is, once again, before we get into what Goodell said and what our opinions are on it, again, we're a week and a half removed from the incident, and Roger Goodell is out here playing damage control 10 days too late. His sole lone job as commissioner of the NFL is essentially to act as a PR agent. And the dude does about the worst job at PR I've ever heard. He dances around answers. There's no definitive clarity with anything the majority of the time. And it's always delayed. Like, it never feels genuine. It always feels reactionary despite it being delayed. I know it goes against what I'm saying. It never sits well with me when this guy opens his mouth.
Yeah, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, as the commissioner, like, I don't necessarily think his job is to play PR guy. It was a blown call. You know, what is he, that's all, it's the only thing he's going to come out and say is, hey, the refs missed the call. Like, I mean, what's he supposed to do?
Well,
you know, is he supposed to get down and, man, I hope Sean Payton forgives me. I'm so sorry. Like, no, like, it was a blown call. Everybody knows it was a blown call. He didn't even have to make, I don't even think he necessarily has to make a statement on it. Like, it was a.
What's
he supposed to do?
Well, the fact is you oversaw the worst call in the history of sports. That was on your watch, so you need to address it.
Well, if it was him making the call, I could completely understand
it's
it.
It's his league, though.
Yeah, come out and the only thing that he, and I don't even think he needs to say, it's the only thing that he can say is a call was blown. Yes, did it, you know, possibly cost a team a trip to the Super Bowl? Sorry about your cankles, man. It happens. It's human. It's human error that will always be a part of this game. I feel, you know, I feel for the players. I feel for the coaches. But hey, it's Super Bowl week. Move on. Get over it.
Well, it certainly sounds like technology is going to be a part, or is not going to be a part of the game, or robots, as I've lobbied for, and other people have lobbied for.
I don't think you can have robots in NFL football. Like, now, offsides, false start.
No, I'm talking about egregious, missed.
A pass interference call. Right. You can't have a robot make that call. Like,
I think robot gets misconstrued here. I'm not talking about a robot saying, yes, that was a penalty, or yes, it was not. I'm saying drones, technology that can cover angles that we can't see, and then one guy, this is all I'm asking for, one guy that sits in a booth that watches the TV feed and then, like, six other feeds, but predominantly the feed that we see. And when an egregious blown call, and they don't happen often, so the perfect world, this doesn't even need to get used once a year.
Yeah.
It's just an ultimate fail-safe to make sure a catastrophic all-world, earth-shattering no-call isn't made, or is made, or however you want to word that, right?
Yeah, well, if they want to make the rule to where, you know, you can, I mean, one, these plays will have to be challengeable, but then that opens Pandora's box of, you know, people have talked about, you know, baseball and how long baseball games take. You know, if we're going to open up this Pandora's box I don't think that was a pass interference call, throw a flag, and then they challenge this and they're, you know, looking at slow motion. Like, it's part of the game.
No, it is a slippery slope, right? It is dangerous.
Yeah.
In that sense, that what is a judgment call? And that's what's really coming out today. Goodell had essentially hinted at that maybe down the line they're going to look at, in this offseason, it's go to the competition committee. They're going to look again at instant replay. And this is a quote. We will look again at instant replay. There have been a variety of proposals over the last, frankly, 15, 20 years on whether replay should be expanded. It does not cover judgment calls. This was a judgment call. The other complications are that it was a no call. And our coaches and clubs have been very resistant, and there has been support to date about having a replay official or somebody in New York throw a flag when there is no flag. They have not voted for that in the past. And I understand, because it sets a very dangerous precedent, and you kind of got to ask yourself, well, what's a judgment call, and when should we go through throwing these flags? There is no easy answer.
Yeah.
I'm with that. But there has to be a failsafe to ensure that the worst call in sports doesn't happen. I don't know exactly what that is. If it's a one flag or one challenge flag per game, like super extra special challenge. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, do we not think these referees felt bad about what happened?
Of course.
It goes back to the pitcher from the Rockies, Galarraga,
talking about the perfect game?
The perfect game.
Yep.
Yeah. And,
remember that?
You know, after that game, Jim Joyce was broken.
Yep.
You know, the fact that he saw it one way and, you know, made the call, and after he sees the replay, he was broken. And that's part of the game.
It is.
You know, it's always, and that's one thing, you know, yeah, does it suck when it goes against your team? Yeah, it absolutely sucks, but, you know, it's...
I don't know what the terminology needs to be. A catastrophic failsafe. Like, I don't know. Like, the blown no-call, Galarraga and Jim Joyce,
yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
It was blown. It was a bad no-call.
Yeah.
But it was, there was, even in fast, you know, in real time, okay, I can see it's human error. There is nothing in that play with Nickell Robey-Coleman where you look at and you're saying, oh, well, I understand. Everyone's just saying there's no explanation. So in the case of where there's no explanation, we just need to see something done. And I don't need it next year, and I understand it's a difficult process. Point, I want it to be done right, because that's something the NFL has a real problem with, is when they roll out new stuff, they're constantly reacting to it and making the problem worse. We saw it with the Clay Matthews stuff early in the season.
Yeah.
Like, I just, it almost made me not a fan. Like, it almost had me turning off my TVs on Sundays. I was right there. Now, obviously, week 4, week 5, week 6, it all tapered down and we were back to normal. It was what a lot of people said it was going to be, a leveling off.
Yeah.
This was, you know, a hypersensitive time those first few weeks. Getting back to Goodell real quick, about him, you know, taking his time to make a statement, not actually saying anything of value. He really did that with Kaepernick. He basically put it on the teams when a reporter asked, why do you think, Roger, he is not signed? Roger's like, well, it's up to the teams, and if they think he can win and help them, then they'll sign him. It's like, no, Roger, that's not what was asked. So that's kind of problematic when you don't get direct answers from the dude. It doesn't leave you with the warm and fuzzy feeling. It also doesn't leave you with the warm and fuzzy feeling when the dude lies. Now, I want to give you a quote. This is what he said. We understand the frustration of the fans. I've talked to Coach Payton, the team, the players. We understand the frustration that they feel right now. We certainly want to address that. Michael Thomas on Twitter, wide receiver for the Saints. He ain't talked to us. That I don't like.
Well, I mean, we also have to realize that the biggest week of the NFL season is coming up.
Yeah.
Does he have to go straight to them immediately after it happens?
Nobody said he did.
And address it?
Nobody said he did.
He said he did, or he said he would?
He said he did. And that's the issue. He said, we understand, I've talked to Coach Payton, the team, the players. Said he talked to him. Now, Michael Thomas is saying he didn't.
Well, maybe he talked to Coach Payton, and, you know, thought that maybe Coach Payton would relay. Yeah,
right.
I get it.
I don't like the idea of a figurehead and the power that he has in the corporation that he represents, $9 billion a year or whatever they rake in, and obviously they're coming to Las Vegas. I don't like the lack of transparency.
Yeah.
Even if it's a small lie, it leaves me with the question, what else is he not telling us? What else half-truths are mixed in this messaging? My point is every time Goodell opens his mouth, I don't feel good about it. And that's a problem if you're a football fan. Now, I understand he's in a difficult place. There's all that to take into account. But it was interesting. I'm sure we'll be talking about more of this the rest of the week. We got two more days here on the Mac Attack before the Super Bowl. So we'll be getting into a little bit more of that. Obviously, Media Day is happening right now. The players are being interviewed. We'll be plenty more of that. But that's going to do it here for the opening round. The opening round sponsored by our friends over at VIP Collision. They're at 323 Sun Pack Court there off the 215. They got a 5-star rating on Yelp. They got a 5-star review on Google. They have some of the best customer service in all of Las Vegas. If you want to get your work done there, you can. Doesn't matter what your insurance company says. You can go wherever you want. You give them a call at 660-0030. That's 660-0030. You tell them Big Mac sent you. You're going to get 10% off any work you get done at VIP Collision. When we come back, we're going to be joined by one half of the VGK Insider crew over on our sister station, Fox Sports. Ryan, the hockey guy, is going to stop by to talk all things Golden Knights coming up next here on the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, joining the show right now, you can hear him. Fox Sports Radio, our sister station. He is one half of the VGK Insiders. Also, one half of the Rink Rats podcast with the Athletics. Jesse Granger joining the show right now. Ryan Wallace, a.k.a. Ryan the Hockey Guy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man. I'm excited to be on your show because I wasn't sure how that would logistically work, but through the magic of radio, I can be in two places at one time,
You said it.
It's fantastic.
You could technically turn over to Fox Sports right now. Now, don't do that necessarily, but you would hear Ryan, and that is, we have figured it out. This is a city that spawned David Copperfield and Lance Burton, so we know a few tricks of the trade.
Yeah, we're smart here, and we're going to continue to do
here.
It.
Yeah, we're very intelligent here at Lotus Broadcasting. So let's get into it, man. VGK, obviously, here very shortly is going to be squaring off with the Carolina Hurricanes, getting the, I hate saying the second half because we're past that.
Sure.
But the next half of the season, whatever you want to call it, the All-Star break is in our rear view. Let's go back to the All-Star break real quickly. The game was fun. Flurry was fun. The skills competition was cool. All that was great. I love that breakaway challenge. But my real takeaway from the weekend and something I want to talk to you about, something you have some experience with, is this new player tracking and analytics system that we got our. I know Jesse had seen a little bit. You had seen a little bit of it, but we got our first view of it over the All-Star game. And boy, I was excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, mainly because it's going to allow me to do my job better,
sure.
Right? Like anytime you can track more, anytime you can look at more analytics, anytime you can look at, say, a player and how effective they are when they have the puck on their stick in the offensive zone, how the passing lanes kind of change, anytime you can put yourself in that player's shoes more than just relying on what you're seeing from up top is a good thing. Not just for you, but for listeners, for fans, for people to understand how little time and space there is out there on the ice. And it really allows, I think it will allow broadcasters to be more informed when they go into the locker room and they go in to ask those questions and they go in to talk to these guys that are doing this for a living and how high stakes it is. You're going to get to go a little bit more in depth with them. And I think you're going to get more than just cliches out of this new tracking system.
Yeah, you bring up seeing the game differently, right? And for fans, I've been a fan my whole life. Grew up a Blackhawks fan, VGK season ticket holder out here. Have good seats. See the game at a good angle, right? That is pales in comparison to a couple times last year I went as a credentialed member of the media. I went during the playoffs. I wanted to see what it was like on ice level, kind of taking the team from that perspective, something I had done in other sports. I was blown away at how different the game was at ice level. The passing lanes, the things you see truly on ice level and how different it is from the game that I've watched for 30 years.
Yeah, it's super easy for me to be up in the press box and say, that player's open,
right.
That there's a lane there, this is open. Those guys don't see it.
I can't stress how true that is.
And it's unfortunate because we'll bring those biases into the locker room. We'll say, in this situation, you had X, Y, and Z. Why didn't you make that play? Well, I didn't see it. Well, what do you mean you didn't see it? You're out there. How did you not see it? We could see it from up there. That's the key phrase. And with tracking, it's going to allow us to get a better feel for what is happening down on the ice when a lot of us in the media watch it from up top. We have the benefit of bird's eye view. We have the benefit of seeing plays develop faster than those players on the ice can. We get the vision of a Connor McDavid when we get to watch the game. But not every player on the ice is Connor McDavid. Not every player is seeing two steps ahead. Not every player is seeing things unfold that way. And I think it's going to better allow us to judge these players fairly after games. We're not going to kill the guy if he doesn't see a lane, because we'll be able to put ourselves in his shoes in that situation and say, show me where the play is. Because I don't see it. Yeah. And if we don't see it, they don't see it.
Here with Ryan Rawlis, a.k.a. Ryan the Hockey Gay, one half of the VGK Insiders crew on Fox Sports Radio alongside with Frank Harnish. You kind of talked about the analytics itself changing the experience for yourself, the broadcaster, for the media members. What about for the fans? Because we saw it on Saturday. You had nameplates over each player. You had analytics going, average skate speed, shot speed, all that. But I think one thing that a lot of maybe casual fans are going to be really excited about, the puck tracker's back. And it's not that traditional puck tracker that we saw 20 years ago. This had a little bit of a trail of a smoke. A little bit more, less disruptive, I should say.
It was certainly less disruptive. I like the puck tracking. I like that visual of seeing kind of where it's going and how it's moving around in space. I like that when it hits a stick or hits a bump in the ice or a divot or whatever, you get that.
That's what I liked. I liked seeing the rebounds. And like when it was close in on the pads, it's like, oh, the puck squirted out the back or exactly. It's to the side. Yeah.
And it's going to better allow you to see when pucks are tipped. It's going to better allow you to see when that passing lane that you were sure was open all of a sudden closes up really quickly. It shows the speed with which decisions need to be made in the NHL. I like the puck tracking. For fans, though, I think what it ultimately is going to do, especially when it comes to like peak speed or skating speed or, you know, feet skated per game, when you have a bias toward a player, he doesn't try hard, he's not back checking hard enough, there's no hiding from that now.
Well, I know a lot of players are nervous about this new analytics for that reason.
And if they're doing their job, they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Right? And like I know that
aren't
it's
there
new.
Aren't there intangibles, though? Like things that you can equate for, numerically speaking?
Yeah, I'm sure that there are.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to compete level and when it comes to hard work, two phrases that Gerard Gallant loves to go back to, if you have those measurables and you can say, this is what you need to do, or you say you've got a guy like Cody Eakin, right? Cody Eakin skates X amount of feet every single game. All of a sudden, you notice Cody Eakin isn't as effective. You notice that Cody Eakin isn't playing as well as he's played in the past. And then you look at those metrics, and he isn't skating as much per game. Something's wrong. There's something there, and you can better identify what areas maybe a player isn't giving you everything. And then you can go from there and try to fix it. I do understand that there's going to be a little bit of unease, and it's not necessarily shown exactly what the general public's going to have versus what the broadcasters and all that. But the fact of the matter is, analytics have a place in hockey, and it's beyond just Corsi, because Corsi doesn't tell you the full story.
No.
But how often a player has the puck on their stick in the offensive zone tells you a story. How often a player can complete passes into high danger areas tells you a story.
And total number of feet skated for those two-way players. You're trying to figure out who's, you know, back checking and
absolutely
doing their jobs well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you get a real understanding of all of the different facets of the game. And I think that only enhances the viewing for a fan, because when you know how difficult this game is, you can love it, you can understand it, but you don't know how incredibly hard it is to play the game of hockey. And once you do, I think that'll allow a lot of fans to not be so hard on certain players that maybe don't score, but do a lot of the other things full 200 feet that don't show up on those box scores, but definitely help a team win hockey games.
Here with Ryan, the hockey guy here on the Mac Attack. All right, Ryan, so we got the All-Star game. We're going to wrap that up. News coming out of this weekend that was fairly interesting, more so from the the name it's coming from and the uncertainty at which how this is going to play out and what the future holds for this player. And I'm referring to, obviously, Cody Glass, number 6 overall pick last year, the highest selected VGK player ever, the first round draft pick ever. He goes down. He's Portland Winterhawks, right? We don't know the timetable. What was it, a knee?
Yeah, it's knee. It was, I think, a sprain of the LCL and a little bit of bruising on the bone.
So what's your concern level?
My concern level with it isn't that high, to be honest with you. It seems like he's only going to be out a couple of weeks at most. If that turns into, well, yeah, he was supposed to be back, but he's still rehabbing, he's still not there, then you start to wonder. But for me, I don't ever think it's a bad thing for a young player to have to focus on getting a little bit stronger. And this is going to be
rehabbing an unfortunate injury. Yeah.
And this is an opportunity, I think, for Cody Glass to be off the ice, not have to worry about performance on the ice, and he'll rehab. And he'll work on getting stronger.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, and you've got that pocket in this season, especially when you consider he's at junior, he's not playing against men yet, he's going to need to get stronger. So I don't necessarily think it's the worst thing in the world, but if that two-week prognosis turns into 4 weeks, turns into 6 weeks, then you have to wonder what's going on down there. Is the injury getting better? Is it getting worse? And what are the long-term effects from that point forward? But right now, I think it's just a little bit too early to tell.
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up, Cody Glass, a very important part of the VGK future.
He should be.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think when you look at Cody Glass and you look at Paul Stastny and where he is right now with this team, and you look at his contract, when Paul Stastny moves on from the Golden Knights, Cody Glass should be your second line center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 3 years away. So is Cody Glass going to be able to get to that point where George McPhee is going to trust in him? Or is George McPhee going to have to go out and get a stopgap until Cody Glass is ready? You want Cody Glass to be ready. Because when you look at the players taken in front of him, specifically Elias Pettersson,
an all-star game that fella had.
I mean, it's tough. It's going to be a tough spot for Cody Glass because he's going to be expected to be as good as him because he went one player before. So it's a tough spot for Cody Glass. I think the injury is going to be okay. I think he's going to be just fine. The greater concern for me with Cody Glass and watching him play is there aren't moments where, to me, he stands out. There aren't moments, to me, where he jumps off the page and I say he's going to be a great NHLer. I think he'll be good, but I don't know that he's going to be what everyone thinks he's going to be.
Interesting. All right, so Friday, Golden Knights go down to Carolina. They restart this. They get this second half, as we've been saying, part of the season. What is there, like 32 more games left, something like that? What point are we at?
Yeah, I think 30 something or 32,
like
yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that.
So we're a little past the halfway point, but the Golden Knights have obviously, after a little rough start to the season, you get Nate Schmidt back. They're surging a little bit. Obviously, didn't head into the All-Star break maybe like the way they would have wanted to, but Carolina's a nice team. Get one back in the W column. What are you expecting from this team as this playoff push gets closer?
Well, health would probably be number one. I would like to see Riley Smith back in the lineup so that way you can get an answer quickly on Brandon Peary on your third line.
What are we
going to
be doing with him? Right.
What do you have in Brandon Peary as far as third line depth scoring goes? And then I want to see Valentin Zhikov get into a game. Like, that's really, right now, to me, the pressing issues for the Golden Knights are, what the heck does George McPhee do at the trade deadline? Well, he might not need to do anything, because if Valentin Zhikov can provide enough responsibility on the ice in the third line with Cody Eakin and Brandon Peary, that could be a line that could score goals. And that's what you need out of your third line. They're not a threat to score goals with Cody Eakin, Ryan Carpenter, and Oscar Lindberg. They're just simply not good enough to put the puck in the back of the net. So I want to see Smith healthy. I want to see Carrier back, because you're missing a little bit of that physicality, I think, on the fourth line.
No question.
And then you've got to determine what your third line is, because if there's a pressing need on this team right now, it's the fact that their third line is no threat to score ever. And that needs to change. In order to go deep in the playoffs, you don't need a top six, you need a top nine. Yeah. And they don't have it right now.
Well, speaking of going deep in the playoffs, we're going to end on this. A little outside of Vegas and really outside of the Western Conference now, especially Jake Muzzin, Los Angeles Kings. Toronto pulls a coup and adds Muzzin to an already just, I mean, for non-hockey fans out there, or maybe you're just Golden Knights fans, like, Toronto is putting together a team. It's just, it's stupid. I don't want to say it's unfair. Like, it's not Golden State and DeMarcus Cousins, right? We're not there, but it's just littered with sick talent in Toronto, and you got to think they're the front runners in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a two-team race in the Eastern Conference between Tampa and Toronto. Yeah. And I think this definitely kind of bridges the gap a little bit for Toronto. Jake Muzzin is going to need to play on the right side to play with with Morgan Riley. Morgan Riley doesn't play the right side. Jake Muzzin doesn't play the right side. But what Jake Muzzin does really well is he plays with very mobile defensemen, played with Drew Doughty for a long time. And the bigger adjustment to me for Muzzin isn't necessarily going to be playing the right side. It's the fact that he's going to need to adjust to how Toronto plays hockey. They are a fast team. They like to move the puck up the ice quickly. They don't like to spend a ton of time in their own zone, whereas the LA Kings are very comfortable with their coverage in zone in order to start and initiate breakouts. So I think that's going to be the bigger adjustment for Muzzin. However, this finally allows Toronto to move Ron Hainsey, who's old and slow and not fitting in and not the right pair for Morgan Riley, to move to that third pair. And then you've got a young guy in Travis Dermott who can really, really, really benefit from a veteran in Ron Hainsey. This is the best defensive core the Toronto Maple Leafs have had in a long time. And then you couple that with Austin Matthews, with Mitch Marner, with William Nylander, who will find the back of the net more and more. He missed a ton of time. Yeah. But he's coming. He will be back. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs need to win a playoff series, and they need to go deep. But I think Kyle Dubas has done a fantastic job as GM, especially when you consider the fact that he landed John Tavares. He gets Jake Muzzin, who is a piece that he wanted, and it also allows you a little bit of flexibility because you have Muzzin next year, too, to kind of bridge that gap until your young defense in Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren are ready to make that jump into the NHL.
Good stuff as always, Ryan. We will catch up with you throughout the season, obviously. You can reach Ryan on Twitter at RyanTheHockeyGuy, and you can hear him on the VGK Insider Show on our sister station, Fox Sports. Ryan, great stuff.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Back here on the Mac Attack, thanks to our guest, Ryan Wallace. Ryan, the hockey guy. Find him on Twitter, Ryan Hockey Guy. Get him up on the podcast afterwards. So if you missed any part of that chat, you can find it on LV Sports Network after the show. But, Mark, we got a few minutes here. First of all, the first thing I wanted to touch on, UNLV running Rebels. Hosted number 8 Nevada last night, the Wolfpack.
Yep.
The outcome was what many people predicted.
Probably
and thought.
Expected.
Yep. Good news is attendance was high for the year. High, I believe, for the Marvin Menzies era.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, man, I just, that atmosphere pays dividends. Yeah. You know, it maybe not against a team like, you know, Reno or
when you're outmatched, right?
When you're
Vado, man.
Yeah. So yeah, it would be awesome if that could be the atmosphere for all the games.
Right. Now there's a writer. His name's Chris Murray. He's out of
Reno.
Said I wrote a little something about the Las Vegas media's fetish with calling the Wolfpack, quote, UNR rather than Nevada. As a journalist, it bothers me, and it goes into this whole thing about how he's a journalist and how I'm going to be honest, man. I've been here 12 years. I'm not, you know, I follow the Rebels. I've been to a few games throughout my 12 years here. I was a huge fan of Greg Anthony and Larry Johnson and Stacey Augmon. That was my era.
Yeah.
But I don't understand what Reno's issue. What am I supposed to call them? Like, here's my thing. You call UNLV, UNLV, you call them the Rebels, you call them Nevada, you call them Las Vegas. Like, I don't see anyone complaining.
Well, they are the University of Nevada, Reno. UNR. It's the same thing. University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. You call them UNC.
In Indiana. I graduated. I went to Ball State for 4 years, but due to other issues, I had to transfer. I ended up graduating from Indiana University, South Bend.
Yeah.
Okay. Same diploma as IU from Bloomington, but there is very much a differentiation of title, right?
Yeah.
IU is IU.
Yeah.
IUSB is IUSB. Right? Indiana University, Purdue University, split school is IUPUI.
Yeah.
Right? So is it this inferiority complex with Reno?
150 million%.
And I have such a, like, as a journalist, it bothers me with this tag and his headline and our friend, Britt Anderson, used to be on this station. She's since moved on. Wish her well. She's over in New York now taking care of business.
Yeah.
She had a great, she's, this is journalism. You cover a dominant nationally ranked team and this is what you want to write about. That's a fair point.
That is the point. Not just a fair point. Like, that is the point. Like, you just came down, you beat your rival here in UNLV. And your take from that is, oh, you guys don't call us what we want to be called.
Now, I have no dog in this fight, but this is going to make me hate Reno.
Yeah, I don't.
What are you doing?
I have no dog in the fight. Of course, I hope UNLV does well.
Of course.
But yeah, like that's the story you write after you just came down here and thoroughly beat your rival, and you're mad and worried and about what people call you. Stop.
Yeah, there's great. There's some responses on this Twitter thread. As a journalist, it should bother you that you use the word fetish in your clickbait. Bet you don't release that article if the Rebels won. And, you know, there is. I mean, fetish is a very specific word.
Yeah.
And to say that about the media members here, and he uses a screen cap of our colleague Ed Graney, one half of the press box over on ESPN Las Vegas, our sister station.
Yeah.
Is like some sort of slander. And it just, like, you think Ed Graney has a fetish or a vendetta at calling you whatever you don't want to be called? I don't even know what you want to be called. Could you let me know?
Yeah. Do you think Ed Graney cares?
No.
Like.
But it's just, this guy has labeled himself a journalist, and it's a fair question, what Britt questioned.
Well, he's been doing this for years.
Oh, so it's a thing?
Oh, yeah.
And he comes out and he calls himself a journalist.
Yes.
Okay.
Writes for the Reno Gazette, I think, is what that paper up there in that hellhole city up there is.
Wow. I'm just I'm taken aback by all this, and there's a really good conversation between Britt and this journalist, air quotes.
Yeah.
He says, yes, I chose to write about this. I write 3 to 5 stories a day and also co-host a daily one-hour TV show. I do a lot of things every day. This is one of the things I chose to do today.
Oh, good for you. And I don't have the real drop.
No, I'll tell you what. Britt kills it. Congratulations on what you do day to day. Typical media guy who has to boast about the work they do. However, complaining about being called UNR is just low energy, in my opinion, which I'm entitled to. Have a great one-hour TV show today, though. But she nailed it.
I love you, Brittany.
I do, too. And it is so true with these media guys. Like, you know who works harder than Yahoo Sports? I've been around. I've been in this game for 12 years. You know who works harder than anybody and never talks about it? Adam Hill.
I have never in my life met a harder working individual. And
I don't know if it's hard. It's like manic. It's like a sickness.
And it's not just in this business.
No, I'm not even talking about radio.
Yeah, I'm talking about in life in general.
Yeah.
That dude busts his ass on a daily basis.
Yep.
And
you'll never hear him tweet anything like that. No. I do this. I have a web show. I do this. He doesn't do it. I cover the nights. I cover this. I did 4 stories in one day, and I did a 3-hour radio show.
He's the guy who, during that 3-hour radio show,
weren't in the studio.
If you weren't in the studio, you would know he's also writing stories as he's hosting the show.
And think about how good he is.
He's one of the best.
Yeah, I hate Adam. But, I mean, think about how good he is.
Adam.
Yeah, he's terrible. But, I mean, think about how good he is at his job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's just the things he does, how he does it, how quick the turnaround and taking calls during a show or something like that when something big comes up. And it's, yeah, man, he absolutely kills him. And there's not I've never met a harder working person than Adam Hill.
No, nope, I'm with you. So, speaking of hardworking people, right? We talked about the media day, all the things going on with the Super Bowl. Going to transition real quick from Reno and UNLV over to this. And I didn't know if we should get to it.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. He's giving me the countdown. We got 5.
Yeah.
I think 5 minutes is enough to do with this. And I like the 5 because we're actually going to be talking about Maroon 5.
That's why I did it.
They're scheduled. Yeah, see? Method to the madness. Obviously, they're scheduled to do the halftime performance on Sunday at Super Bowl 53 between the Rams and the Patriots.
Sorry, did I do that out loud?
It's a drop. So I saw this headline, NFL cancels Maroon 5 Super Bowl halftime show. Press conference. I was so close.
Damn it.
I should have stopped reading after show.
Yeah.
My day would have been so much better. So, obviously, we know why this is happening. They don't want to roll Maroon 5 out in front of cameras. Now, last year, if you remember famously, Justin Timberlake was rolled out in front of the cameras. And they're like, hey, would you let your kid play football? And he was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe we shouldn't ask you that question, JT.
Maybe we should have just had JT do the halftime show
sing his songs and move on.
Give some opinions on social issues. Obviously, that happened last year. This year is even more charged in terms of Kaepernick and Rihanna and other people turning down the halftime performance, the backlash that Maroon 5 has received. It's just unfortunate, to me at least, that people are going after Maroon 5 for this halftime performance and the issue that they have socially, and not the issue that they have for them musically.
Uh-huh.
They're bad.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying they don't make hits and there aren't people who like them. Yeah. I have a serious issue with Adam Levine. First of all, the dude's got like a Black Panther tattoo.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Stop.
Stop that right away. And also all of his tattoos. He's the dude.
You're a white man.
He's the high school nerd with the full sleeves. And, you know, he's trying to live that life. But, Adam, you're not about that life.
No, you ain't about that.
You're not a rock star. You're not edgy. You're not particularly charismatic. I will give it. You got a fine voice.
You host, like, America's Got Talent or something like that?
Something that's poisoning the culture of music. He's hosting one of those shows that's making music less valuable, for sure. And I'll concede, dude has a fine voice.
Yeah.
You know, good for you. I just hate everything about that band.
I do too.
So I'm gonna be turning over to WWE during the halftime show and watching Halftime Heat.
Maroon 5 quite possibly could be the worst choice for an NFL halftime show.
In Atlanta. That's the worst part, and we've talked about this on other shows.
Yes, we have, man.
The fact that this is an Atlanta Super Bowl show, and you get Travis Scott and you get the guy that we wanted, at least half of the guy we wanted, Big Boy.
Half of who we wanted.
This should have been Outkast. It should have been a part. If you would have made Outkast, you would have had one of the biggest stay-ins of the halftime show of all time.
But there was actually no possible way that Andre would ever agree to do anything for the NFL.
I
respect that.
No, I saw him when they were. You did too when they were out here. What, 4 or 5 years
life
ago? Life is beautiful. Yeah,
one of the best 2 hours of my life.
Absolutely, 100%. And one of the things that Andre was wearing when he hit the stage was a lot of symbolism on his outfits, and he did a lot of outfit changes. And I remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what it said, but one of them was like for sale.
Yeah.
One of them. It was just essentially saying that, hey. Enjoy this now because you're not going to see this again. This is a money grab. This is to celebrate their 20-year reunion, and it was very much that, but Andre 3000, Andre Benjamin, is very socially conscious.
Oh, definitely.
Cares about those issues.
And one of the most underrated rappers of all time.
100%. Now, there is a side note to here. There is good coming out of this. Maroon 5 donated $500,000 to a charity, an attempt that people will actually like them. Feel like it's like when you pay to go to a frat, like you're paying for some friends. In all seriousness, that's a nice gesture. And also Travis Scott donated $500,000 to Van Jones's social outreach program. Yeah. So
good for him.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of chaos right now in 2019. There's a lot of chaos with this Super Bowl, but there's a lot of good that's going to come out of it. And it's always darkest before the dawn, or whatever they say.
Yep.
Some sort of cliche. All right, so we're going to be back tomorrow here on the Mac Attack. Plenty of good stuff coming your way. It's going to be Super Bowl heavy. We're not crazy, right? We know what's coming up over the next 48 hours.
That's what this week is about.
That's what this week is about. We got media day today, so whatever comes out of that, we'll chop it up. We got some good interviews for you as well. Thanks to our sponsors over at VIP Collision. You can find them at 323 Sunpac Court. We'll be back tomorrow getting you ready for the Super Bowl. Thank you to Mark Seidel. Thank you to our guest, Ryan the Hockey Guy. You can find the podcast up at lvsportsnetwork.com after the show. See y'all tomorrow.